Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Welcome back. We got a brand new episode of Strange Happenings coming your way tonight. I'm your host, Mikey, and as of course, always riding shotgun, the bro host with the mo host, Bub Ranley, everybody. Bub,
what's up?
How's today?
Good. Great.
Yeah, good week so far.
I still have a half a sub in the fridge from Wario's, so I'm still good. I just want to say it was exceptionally good today, Wario's.
He's like, I hope we don't go too long. I got the half sub in the fridge.
Oh, my God. The only thing I feel bad about is that it was so delicious and warm, and now I've put it into the fridge where it's cold. But it's like, I'll reanimate that thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to name it.
Yeah,
but then I'll feel bad eating it. But
don't get too attached to your Wario sub, Bo.
It's pretty amazing.
Everybody in the chat, what's up, guys? I see all you out there hanging out. The best moderator in the world, Born Not to Run. Much love to him. Make sure you guys go follow Necromechanimal on Instagram. All you guys listening, watching, we appreciate the hell out of each and every one of you. Make sure you hit that like button. You got to subscribe and hit that notification bell if you haven't already. Everybody in the Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music, we're getting hit now. Our feed, I think, is starting to catch. And YouTube Music app now, which is,
I don't know what's going on. YouTube broke the other day too. I think we're breaking things now.
Yeah, well,
you know.
Yeah, and I don't know if those, that it's back up even. I think I checked it earlier
today. It's back up, but
great way to support the show, guys. Hit that super stickers and super chats, something that I keep forgetting to mention.
We never
probably
think
for
about
the last
yeah.
eight episodes, so that was one of my things just to remind you guys. Yeah. Great way to support the show, keep everything rocking and rolling. This is going to be a great episode tonight. We've got a lot to cover, so I think we should hop right in.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to thank Stoner the Loner in Master Control tonight, holding it down for us.
Rocking
making
it.
Everything look and sound great. Look at that old Master Control shot. And it's a good temperature right now, so nobody's in there.
It's nice
boiling
down here.
Yeah,
no, it's nice,
feels
down
good
here.
We're gonna go from not having heat to the air conditioner firing on, it's been nice and cool, feeling good. We're ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely.
Bub, you want to take it away?
Can we start out?
Sure.
Cool, I'm down with this. I'm sure we'll have a good conversation about this afterwards, but starting off the futurism article we have that says fringe theory claims the sun may be conscious. It's wild. So I love how this starts off. A bong rip of a theory suggests that all matter possesses some form of mind or consciousness, not just animals, including, as one biologist suggests, the sun itself. In 2004, Giulio Tononi proposed what he called the integrated information theory of consciousness, which suggests that consciousness is essentially almost everywhere. The respected neuroscientist Christoph Koch argued in Scientific American that if lumps of matter can form into human bodies and become conscious, there's no reason that groups of elementary particles couldn't either. So in 2021, when biologist and author Rupert Sheltry published a paper questioning whether the sun itself might be conscious, there's a quote from Sheldrake, quote, consciousness does not need to be confined to brains. The link between minds and physical systems seems to be through rhythmic electromagnetic fields, which, of course, are present in our brains. They are also present in and around the sun, and these could be the interface between the solar mind and the body of the sun.
And Rupert
Pretty
Sheldrake, isn't he the guy that has the epigenetics theory that we pass down basically our traits and interests through basically this kind of invisible field that's tied to our DNA, and it's all encoded within us. And you know, he's got a lot of interesting theories about consciousness, but the guy is OG, old school.
I know the name very well. I just don't know. I'm not super familiar with his work. I mean, I know the name. I know I should be more familiar, but where did they start steering towards figuring out that? I mean, I get it. I get the end point of the thought of like, okay,
yeah,
well, if it's based off electric magnetic fields and the sun's doing that as well, so is there a consciousness? Like, I just never thought, like, I mean, that makes you think a lot differently about how you're interacting with the world.
Yeah.
Makes me feel bad for cutting the grass.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've been there. How many bees I've torn up in my clover patches in my backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything. I mean, the Native Americans believed that the rocks, the sand, the water, everything was conscious. And now they're coming out of, you know, talking about crystals being alive. And why
that's what you're saying. Yeah.
Ancient sites are have so much diorite. Most of it's like 60% crystalline. So when you have certain elements that are incorporated into, you know, it's essentially technology at that point. Crystals can grow. They can multiply. They have basically some sort of interdimensional higher vibration to them, where there's, you know, eighth dimensional crystals that are being created and 4D crystals, and then boiling that down and creating these quasi crystals, which basically proves that the universe is a fractal in nature, which we've talked about many times on the show.
Okay.
But there's, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming out about all the things we talk about, that this 3D world is, it's a light of matrix, essentially, is what they're finding by these really, really strange focus with crystals seem to be a big part of it. And there's a lot of crystal in the earth, so.
Right. No, I mean, I can go there. I mean, it's a hard, you know, it's one of those, like, we've been talking about today, of just, like, breaking down different paradigms of, like, we're talking about, you know, maybe this has lost faith in it, so you're kind of seeing it retooled, or, like, we're talking about just discourse and how conversations where it used to be just people shouting over the way. But, like, now we're getting into science, where we're having to look at some of our scientific beliefs, and we're going to start going,
we're going to start
really, like, remodeling some of those things, or there's going to be some groundbreaking work coming up. And maybe part of that is with AI as well. Maybe
it's
accelerate. Right. Maybe you take what used to take a whole team of people, or a once in a century or a millennia, you get a Einstein or a Tesla or a whoever, that really advances the movement of progress in certain areas. Now, what if you have AI that can help you really expand upon? I mean, that's wild to think. Like, it's too wild. We might start solving all kinds of things, but
yeah,
inevitably we're going to create problems from those, though, then as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then you'll need a bigger, smarter computer to solve that problem that it created, but then that problem will be created from that one. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see where we go with it and how we actually wield that, because historically we kind of like, hey, you want to set off a nuclear bomb? Sure, let's set off like 500,000 of them. You ever seen that map, like the sped up timeline of the entire globe of like the first country, us getting the nukes, and then whoever else got them, and then it starts showing like each individual flag of each country, and it has a ticker under them, and it says who's setting off how many?
Yeah.
And at a certain point, dude, it just looks like the 4th of July.
The whole earth is
and they're
engulfed.
Just nuking. So it's like, did we have to do all that? Like, what was the point in all that? Did you really need to test that many nuclear bombs? Like, even that kind of stuff, most people don't realize it or think about it.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're not doing it in somebody's backyard where they can see it. Maybe it causes problems to the earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a little bit of a cul-de-sac of a rant there, but it's just interesting what we do with power. And Kyle and I were even talking stoner, you know, like, just sucks that we can't get to the point of being benevolent with it. We're like, I want a jetpack. I want a Jetson car. I think we should have this figured out, where
finding out that the sun is conscious, and these kind of theories that, you know, people have been talking about consciousness and everything's conscious, then you start to, whoa, now science is changing, frame of mind's changing, and
what if
now you're not worried about these simple things that are trivial at best? If you think
how about this, how religion, not that I'm a big religious person, but I'll go this way, religion has had to change and adapt to science.
Yeah.
Science may have to adapt not to religion, but to something that is not necessarily unknown. Scientific yet, or understood scientific, that seems
magic, but it's
woo religious magic, whatever, under that whole umbrella. Sure, because science is like, we can't prove it, we can't quantify it, etc. Not yet.
They're doing it right now.
You're going to.
Yeah.
You're going
Headline,
to.
The sun is conscious. We know for a fact, which means that it's some kind of giant entity that can what? Think? Affect other things around it, communicate, using the sun as a springboard for some kind of broader communication system. You know, these quantum entanglement communication systems where they're, you know, sending basically communications through massive long distances using quantum entanglement. Again, some of those things are coming out.
I told you about that being a part of a show story, a storyline of a show I just started watching.
Yeah, Three Bodies.
I don't want to give it away in case anybody wants to watch.
Spoiler alert, it's pretty new.
It's pretty new.
It's not like we're talking about Interstellar for the 20th time. If you haven't seen that, sorry.
I almost mentioned it once already this show when you said something about the crystals and going in these different dimensions.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm Matthew McConaughey inside of that weird library room.
That's it. That's
the Tesseract.
Yes, dude. That's
I don't know if it's a Tesseract, but that's just the word I use for it.
These crystalline structures are creating worlds within worlds within
worlds.
Think
of it like being inside of a funhouse in the mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And infinitely fractalizing things out to where, like, really, what if, wow, this is deep. We are all one, right? That whole interconnectedness, quantum level. But what if it literally is just like we're just one entity and we have lived in a house of mirrors.
Yeah.
And our universe is reflected out from us, but I am you and you are me and we are all together, as the Beatles said, right?
Yeah.
That's really bizarre. I can't almost conceive of that. Now, here's my question. If that's the case, when I pass away, where does my...
Back into the hole. You go back into the hole.
So what started all of this?
Into the higher dimensions.
What started all this?
That's the greatest question of all time. Because when they, like I said, when they're these crystal models, 8D, 4D, they start breaking down these. And I'm a moron, basically, to even try to explain.
Bo Diddley. Yeah.
But, you know, when it breaks down to all these different dimensions at the smallest point, you have to observe these things for them to even become real. So you have to have a conscious observer to even see, because otherwise it's just light. We're literally living in this ball of light.
Everything's
which
pretty
is
much
a light matrix is what they're calling this.
That makes sense.
And it's a sphere that we're living in the shadow of a much more absolutely mind-bending structure as well that's above us, that we're literally
Are
living
you saying
in the
we're
shadow.
In the flat Earth?
Well, they call it a sphere, not a plane, but, you know, I think there's alternate, maybe there's an alternate reality where there is flat Earth, there's spherical Earth, and it's, you know, turtles all the way down, just in many different levels. Who knows? Maybe there is a 2D flat Earth that they're living in the shadow of us. Like an ant farm.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, I got to give a real quick shout out to,
yeah,
and this
do.
Is one of the weirdest shout outs I'll ever give, to my brine shrimp that just died.
Oh, no.
I had an ecosphere. It looks like a snow globe. It looks like a snow globe, but inside that snow globe is like a little branch and some seaweed and some water and then like a separation of water and air. And it's fully sealed. There used to be 4 brine shrimp in it when I first bought it. And I bought this thing in, like, I swear, 2012.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been over a decade.
Yeah.
And when I first got it, it had 4. And I, being the master of this universe, set it in the sun too directly. It got too hot. Cooked 3 of them.
Yeah.
In the first year or two. One shrimp lived on up until...
What
a week
happened?
Ago? He's old.
Well, he's old.
I mean,
and
he's
he
old.
No
he
friends.
Can only molt so many
he's
times.
He's probably lonely.
Hang out
depressed.
On the stick by himself and chase it when I clean the inside and scrub it because it's sealed.
Yeah.
So that gas puts off, it grows some algae or whatever for him or her or whatever that thing. And it's eaten, you know? And then it was one of the coolest things I've ever had. I would love to get another one. I don't even know if they make them anymore.
I remember where you got that.
I know that there's sea monkeys, right? It was down at a store here in town called Tiger Tree that I don't know if it's still there in the short north. But, yeah. Anyhow, ripped my little brine shrimp. I don't even know what I'd call him.
You never named him?
I'd call him Red.
Red?
He's trying to get a scholarship.
How creative, right? Yeah,
but he was great. I know. Appreciate it. The chat, I know, getting sympathies for a brine shrimp is wild. But I'll tell you what, that was a whole
2012. That's a long time.
But I am the entity.
Yes.
That it can't perceive.
You're its godhead.
100%. Yeah. And I cooked three of his friends. So he was like, I'm going to stay in line. I bet he was working out in there. He was like, I got to stay in shape.
Yeah, in case the lady, another lady eventually drops
case,
by.
Yeah, in case that dipshit puts it in the sun too again.
Solitary too confinement is what he was.
Yep. Anyhow, do you want to do this next one?
Yes, absolutely. Scientists theorize that the Earth may be an intelligent entity, which, again, is what the people down in Peru and Brazil that work with ayahuasca and people that shamans that have been working with peyote and mushrooms have all been saying this intelligent entity, the Earth, Mother Earth. We've all heard that even growing up as kids. You know, we didn't have parents that were hippies, but we still heard the term Mother Earth as if it's an entity of some kind.
Yeah.
So pointing to evidence that fungi is communicating underground suggests that large-scale networks of life could form a vast, invisible planetary intelligence. A group of astrobiologists are asking the thought-provoking question, if a planet like Earth can be alive, can it also have a mind of its own? The planetary intelligence they refer to describes what the term they term as the collective knowledge and cognition of an entire planet. In other words, if just as an individual ant appears to possess very little intelligence, working as a whole, a colony displays an impressive level of it. With this in mind, they look at the Earth as a collective whole. Well, the process is an activity on and within our planet. So collectively, they claim that all biological, geological, meteorological, and all human activity together creates basically this planetary intelligence that tackles global issues like climate crisis, biodiversity loss, or pollution. We must treat the Earth as a living, intelligent entity. And if this sounds familiar, it's because essentially what indigenous people have been saying for centuries, though they face ceaseless ridicule and violent terrorizations for doing so, it's interesting that they additionally put forward the concept that planetary intelligence is likely the key to any civilization's ability to traverse the universe and discover extraterrestrial life. Interesting. There you go. The Earth is conscious. I mean, think about it. It does, I think, change based off of its environment. I mean, we're seeing what we're doing to, you know, with pollution and scooping all the fish out of the ocean and garbage patch and weather changing and
we kind of look like mold from high above.
Yeah, like a bacteria
spreading infection on the planet.
Yeah.
We don't live very harmoniously with it. I will say this, if you ever go out to, and I think it's in Sedona, they have a lot of like strict laws about the aesthetics of your buildings, right? Remember Kevin told us there's the only McDonald's
that has green art.
One or two that is not red.
Yeah.
The top of the McDonald's is green, like a sage green, because everything blends into the hillside so you can't see it. And it's like very, environmentally focused on like the aesthetic of like blending in and like kind of like not being too intrusive, like not too like brutalistic, which is like, I'm going to put a skyscraper here, you know, like, this doesn't look good. So from certain parts, or if you go over like the top of like a big strip mine, you're like, what the hell is happening there? Are they digging a Mordor? Like it looks like a switchback trail to Hades underworld.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this massive gaping hole and they're all over the place. But let's say maybe that's something too, where it's just like, okay, so you dig a hole in your backyard, it'll fill in with dirt. You dig this giant hole, that's going to fit, you know, as long as we're not digging it next to somebody's property where you're going to have like a house go caving in there. But again, we can't trust ourselves not to do things like that. Side note, underground systems. Mm-hmm. Just thinking out loud about this. I've been watching Stranger Things again. And I think the scope of underground buildings needs to be really like spun up harder. I don't think people really, and I don't even really understand how deep they go or how much there probably is going on subterraneanly. And just take Jordan, right? Petra.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt. Most of these sites, people are like, wow, look at all that. And it's like, you see, it's kind of like Wright Pat. You see maybe 10%, 20% above ground, the rest underground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I always thought it'd be cool to have a house where like you just showed up at my house and there was just a mailbox. Like you'd park your car and then all of my house was underground. And then I would use all of my up ground for, I'd have a barn and stuff and I could use all that grass, but I wouldn't need my house to be up there.
Yeah.
But, you know, just interesting concepts like that because you can do it so easily. I mean.
That's a hobbit hole, bud.
No, I'm saying on a large scale.
Yeah.
Like governmental drills.
Well, how many rooms did the hobbit hole have in the very beginning? Hey, Burton, appreciate that, my man.
He likes the Wario's. Oh, it was nice. So good today, Burton. I'm sorry. I'll sideswipe this whole episode just to tell you how good Warriors was. But yeah, I mean, think about that. Like, I mean, even the fact that I think there's probably underwater bases.
Yeah, for sure.
Possibly not ours either.
Oh, for sure. I think that's where they're coming from.
Hiding in plain sight type stuff.
I think they're coming from the oceans.
I think that's the lesson
one
of
way down in the Bermuda Triangle.
I think that's the lesson of 2024, right? Mm-hmm. Is it's all hiding in plain sight. It's all right here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get
everything.
We'll get to some of that. Oh boy.
Wow. Yeah, I'm gonna need that other half a sandwich. It's so good. I'm just dreaming. All right. So do you want me to do this one?
I can do this one.
You got it?
Yeah. So this is from our friends Emily and from singularfortian.com, and this is our buddy
Tobias.
Yes, Emily and Tobias Wayland. I guess you check out that episode with Tobias if you haven't seen it. Killer stuff. But these
Tobias
guys
is great.
This is one of their latest articles. A family from Zimbabwe reportedly terrorized by invisible goblins. A family from Magawe, North Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, claimed recently that they're under siege by a troop of invisible goblins. And the family, three children, ages 13, 12, and 8, along with their elderly grandparents, said that the strange incidents have continuously escalated since they began in November and include unexplained noises in the walls, objects mysteriously vanishing, doors and windows moving on their own, lights flickering, food disappearing while it's cooking, and the children being physically assaulted by invisible forces. Sounds like a poltergeist situation, but we'll continue on. We don't know what to do anymore. It started last November. One morning, our children woke up with their heads shaved. We thought it was a one-time thing. The next day, our youngest child woke up in the middle of the night screaming. He had been stabbed in the leg with a knife. He also woke up with his head shaved again and said the children's grandmother. They were recently sent to stay with their maternal grandmother in South Africa, but the bizarre occurrences followed them, resuming within 3 days of their arrival. As a result, the children were brought home to Zimbabwe. The children were also sent to stay with their neighbors, but this proved similarly futile since the invisible creatures seemed to follow them there too. Goblin attacks are reported with surprising frequency in Zimbabwe. In 2019, local prophet Madziba Shepherd Nazira, the leader of the Church, claimed that goblins were to blame for a string of deaths that took 10 members from a single family in Zimbabwe. And in 2018, they were blamed for the deaths of two children in the village and for slaughtering scores of livestock in the same area several months later. Yeah, not sure if the prophet, what kind of, background this prophet has, but seems like a pretty strange dude. But, you know, sounds like gremlins, goblins, invisible forces that follow them around.
Who knows? Maybe they're like Monsters, Inc. It's what I'm getting when I see these little graphics and images. They look like where the wild things are. You got one playing a flute. They got these little cloven hooves. They got some that look very unenthusiastic about being goblins. The guy on the far right doesn't look like he wants to be at work. So
he looks like old
one dude's jamming a guitar. That would definitely be me. I'm haunting you. No, you got to play an E minor. It's scary. Can't play a G chord and haunt somebody.
No, you can't.
Can't play a D major and haunt someone. Better come in there with a B sharp minor or some shit.
Yep.
Anyhow, you know, yeah, I think that's a common thread. It also kind of sounds like poltergeisty. Shaving your head, yeah. Getting stabbed by things. Like, not saying I've ever had an encounter with a poltergeist, but I think historically, and I'm not trying to give them a bad name if they don't have one, but
yeah,
historically, they're not known as the friendliest guest at the Airbnb for spirits.
They're like the pesky pests of the paranormal world.
They're like Casper's mean brothers. I don't know. Was that Casper's brothers in that film? Or were those just other ghosts that he perished with at the same time?
Yeah, they were like his uncles.
That was Casper's uncles?
Yeah, I think so. The three.
I bet that, well, that would suck to hang out with those guys forever.
Yeah. In 2023, nearly 30 girls in Colombia were taken to the hospital after playing with a Ouija board.
What?
The students had reportedly suffered anxiety attacks after using...
Where's this coming
from? Divinatory. It's the same article.
Wait, really?
Using a divinatory device at school less than 6 months prior, November 2022, 11 teens ranging from age 13 to 17 were found by teachers... Remember when we were in like fourth or fifth grade?
Not really.
When everybody was into Bloody Mary. Does anybody remember?
Put out like a notice. Like,
oh yeah,
this is about to stop because people would just spontaneously start crying.
The girls were in our grade. So freaked out. All became completely obsessed with doing Bloody Mary.
I'm still not going to go
during study hall and recess.
I don't think it'll do
in the bathroom.
It turned into a thing.
Yeah, and it became so insane that people were doing it at home.
Yeah,
and. I mean, shout out if anybody's heard of it. I don't know if that's an Ohio thing, but the story goes, if you guys haven't heard, that Bloody Mary was a Victorian age royal.
I don't know the story.
From Bloody Mary was a duchess or a princess or something.
Don't even know. Just some lady that you would conjure by saying. It's right. Like Beetlejuice.
But she had gotten murdered. And so there were these people that were trying to bring her back. And the way that they brought her back was saying Bloody Mary 10 times into the mirror. And so then you could conjure Bloody Mary through the mirror. And and who knows if those girls
there will
ever
be
see
a river of blood. It's like Vigo shit.
Yeah.
Like floating, head floating in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. No, it's not. I don't know. But yeah, that turned into a thing.
Yeah.
That they got people freaked out a little bit. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there was light as a feather, stiff as a board. You remember that?
Never participated.
Light as a feather. People would do it at sleepovers and slumber parties. Like
I've heard.
I know some girls that have played around with that stuff, and they were able to lift people off the ground. You know, these little fifth grade girls are able to, you know, collectively.
I've heard the stories. I've never participated.
You just focus.
Never done a Ouija
light
board.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Never participated
light
in as a feather, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Never.
But do people do that anymore? Because now there's tablets and iPhones and there's actually
people are screwing around with a Ouija board anymore. Yeah, you got an iPhone, you got
Bloody Mary.
Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe
we had to make up shit to keep busy.
How is it that we've gone this far and like we don't have any like modern equivalency of the witchcraft that we had when we were children?
Seems more adventurous.
Why is it that we let all the magic go that we had? We used to have all kinds of sweet magical stuff is what it sounds like. Crazy.
Yeah.
This would be like if the ancients were like, why'd you stop using pyramids and all this sweet technology? We're like, oh, dude, we had cell phones. We thought we were there.
We went this way when we could have.
We actually gave up more as we've gone further. That's interesting.
We've given up a lot. Yeah. We've given up.
This is what I'm saying, where science is going to have to take some of the woo and bring it in.
Yeah.
Validate the woo.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace the woo.
Materialist science.
Not all the woo, but enough woo.
Yeah, it's going to have to integrate with just nuts and bolts. Materialist science is going to have to give a little bit with some of these things that are just unexplainable. And, you know, maybe there is something to light as a feather, stiff as a board in some of those concepts of
I think there's something,
you know, using energy to levitate. Using the collective energy.
Fair enough.
That's what light as a feather, stiff as a board is. It's the collective focus of each person that's, you know, you only have two fingers that you each have.
Yeah.
And you're just saying it in this mantra.
Yeah.
And the energy from is coming through your fingertips or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's not real at all, but it seems fun to – it'd be way cooler if it was.
Heather said, embrace the woo, next t-shirt. Hey, man, I'm there like
– TSR, embrace the woo.
I think the woo should be a character, like one of these little goblins. Yeah. But like a lovable-looking, cuddly, fluffy, weird woo. Like
–
maybe the unenthused guy on the right would rather be the woo.
Crystals his horns.
Instead of that, he just doesn't look. Look, he's shoulders slumped back. He's like, this, what the hell? We're going to do frumpy. This again.
The one on the top.
We're going to shave frumpy. This kid's head again. He's clearly not getting it.
He's frumpy.
The guy on the bottom left looked like he might have just hit the bong a little too much before going to work.
Yeah.
He's like, where are we going, man? Anyhow, so the next article, you want this one? Or you want me to jump into this one?
Go ahead.
The Unexplained, this comes from fizz.org, giant Swedish archive logs paranormal phenomena. Newspaper clippings, books, and firsthand accounts of people who said they visited other planets are cataloged in a giant Swedish archive on paranormal phenomena, attracting the curious and researchers from around the world. The Archives for the Unexplained, or the AFU, claims to be the world's biggest library of paranormal phenomena. I just want to pause right there. The Vatican's is bigger.
Yeah,
clearly. With 4.2 kilometers, 2.6 miles, pause. The pretty Vatican big. The Vatican has 50 miles, play, of shelves running underground. Klaus Zvon, 65, and Anders Liljegren, 73, who run the archive located in the southeastern town of nor coping, say they are neither superstitious nor believers, but rather curious investigators of the unknown. Pause again. Neither superstitious nor believers, but rather curious investigators. So coming at it with, like, you know, hopefully a balanced approach, it seems. So the Archives for the Unexplained, the name of both the library and the association that has collected documentation for more than 50 years, is mainly comprised of books, but also more original documents, such as firsthand accounts of paranormal activity recorded on tape and photos of ghosts. This is a cool library.
Reminds me of the Edgar Casey archive in Virginia or something like that.
Well, just the cultivation of it, too. And, the, you know, yeah, you could do this online, I guess, but, you know, maybe not everything that's been written down actually made it to Amazon.com. You know what I mean? Well, maybe not all books are online, which, whatever, we should push to have the great amount of knowledge we have should all be everywhere at once to people. But
you remember when we covered the AI reading the Sumerian tablets?
Sure.
Apparently, that's all done and built in the UCLA archive now. I thought it'd be interesting if we did an episode where we literally just took a tablet. You can take a tablet off the shelf, pull it down, and translate the whole thing.
You know what it's going to say?
I don't know what it's going to say. But if we get the
person X owes me
three
bags of grain.
They have the Enuma Elish.
Not all of it, but a lot of it will be.
Epic of Gilgamesh.
Yeah.
You can pick those books.
Sure.
So...
But I'm just saying, a lot of the early writings and stuff like that, the first reason they wanted it for was for inventory and stuff.
The first cuneiform was for were marks to keep track of debt.
Debt and goods, and we have this much.
You have two apples.
Well, I was saying earlier about Ishmael, you're trying to predict the future and how, you know, instead of like we got to move with food, we can make food, we can keep food, and then we can like control our destiny a little more.
And once you, and agriculture took off, you had to be able to track all those goods.
Well, that was the other part of it. Yeah. Well, that's when money started coming out too. So the library receives about 300 visits a year by appointment only.
Oh,
which I think that's cool.
You think we're getting in?
No. The archives are in the process of being digitalized, and many of the documents can already be consulted on a server. That's wonderful. All that is needed is an access code, which the pair are more than happy to share. The AFU is administered by an association of volunteers and hobbyists, I understand. Also covers the folklore, the beliefs associated with paranormal phenomena in general, said Svan. Quote, we love to see this as a social thing, impacting society all around the world and impacting lives. People whose experiences and accounts are not taken seriously in society can find their rightful place in the archive, says museum curator Magnus Bartos. Quote, the archive says something is unexplained. That means we shouldn't reject it. We should investigate it. We should be open. That's a great, you know, just kind of like last quote. One of the things it reminds me of is like when I was in nursing school, they always said, believe your patient. if they say this is what they feel like or this is what's going on, believe them. Because, you know, we don't have everything figured out. That was the one thing in medicine they always stress so hard. Like, we don't have it all figured out, but we know how to do this, this, and this. But there's going to come times when, like, we just, you know, something's going to be new or this, that. So, like, listening to, and even this guy saying, like, you know, it might sound wild and fantastical. Again, I'm watching Stranger Things again. That first season when Winona Ryder is trying. I always
Winona.
I love. That's the only show that I'll watch the credits roll in because I always love going the Duffer Brothers.
Yeah,
I don't know why nobody's ever said that in that way, but to me, it reminds me of Duff Beer from The Simpsons. And, so I'm always like the Duffer Brothers. So I always read Winona. Oh. There's a couple other names in there. But anyhow, nobody believes her at first.
Mm-hmm.
Wild experiences are going on. Will disappears. Demogorgon's trying to come through the wall. How do you tell somebody about that?
Yeah.
People have wild experiences all the time that, again, are you're not always with somebody. You're going to have a lot of, maybe not a lot, maybe it's dependent upon the person and a lot of factors.
You
but
can read people, though.
You'll have a variety of singular you moments in life that will happen. Like I saw a shooting star that no one else sees next to me. Like my wife's not there. You're not there. Nobody's there. It's kind of a singular moment type thing. So again, in these where you don't have somebody witness with you, how do you find commonality and common ground to like talk to somebody about it? So I think it's the smartest thing because if you're open and you're like, hey, cool, that's your story. You told me I can't really say for sure if it's real or not. I'll listen. That's kind of what we've always said.
Right.
I won't say you're legit or not. I don't know. It's your encounter, your interaction. But if you get all those, you might start realizing, oh, this person had the same encounter as this person. That doesn't make any sense if they're not correlated. It'd be like saying, well, there's pyramids over here. Why are there pyramids over there? They're probably connected. This is just another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Causal relationship in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it encourages people to come forward and share their stories. Again, like, I wonder how many people don't say anything ever.
Yeah. Oh, majority. I would say majority. Oh,
those have to be the best stories, too.
For sure. For sure.
Barna, like, across the board.
Yeah. How many people are getting on History Channel or one of these shows or William Shatner's The Unexplained? Like, yeah, I can't wait to get on a TV show in front of millions of people and look like a kook. Nobody wants that. Unless it's, you know, you're, you know, someone like Karen Wilkinson, for example, where she stayed quiet for years and years and years and years about her story and everything that was happening to her. But after a while, you just feel compelled, you know, to share and to meet other people that are having those experiences too and do talks and go on podcasts. Karen was just on Strangeology.
I have to write this idea down in a separate space and I don't even want to mention it right now because this might be one of the greatest ideas I've ever had.
All right, let's have it.
No, I can't right now.
Okay. By the way, Bob has had so many ideas that a year or two later that you've talked about and then it's like a real thing that somebody's either making money off of or somebody's created.
It's going to freak me out. If I see anything like what I just thought up right now, that's it. I'm going to Mexico and starting my life over as a bullfighter. All right.
So 2 weeks ago, guys, we covered Gudang Padang, and talked about this paper that recently came out, multidisciplinary. It's gotten a ton of heat. And there's a whole, what seems like an army of people, scientists, researchers, archaeologists, that are trying to basically disprove this. And so they're working really hard to get this retracted by the journal that published it. So this is from the Daily Grail. Last year, the ancient site of Gudang Padang in Indonesia garnered worldwide media attention after the publication of a paper in the peer-reviewed journal Archaeological Prospection that made the astonishing claim that the site could be the world's oldest pyramid, and not just by a little, but 28,000 years, which would predate the Giza pyramids, which were 5,000 years ago. So we're talking many, many, many millennia older. So the orthodox archaeologists and skeptics were quick to hit back against the claim. And those objections also made worldwide news in New York Times, Smithsonian Magazine. And now the criticism seemed to have won the day, at least least for now, as the journal has now officially retracted the paper. The retraction note does not provide the response from the authors, unfortunately and perhaps unfairly. However, it can be read at Danny Hillman Nachawidjada's, which...
Nachawidjada's.
Last week, I pronounced that 2 weeks ago when Ross co-hosted. I nailed that damn name.
Nachawidjada's.
Yeah, I nailed it. Ask anybody in the chat, man. I was on top of it.
It's interesting. It's a hard name to say, but it's a good one.
Danny Hillman, his Facebook page, you guys can, maybe we should link that. But it's posted earlier today on behalf of all the authors who expressed profound disappointment at the unwarranted retraction, along with the contextual documentation such as the email exchanges leading up to the retraction. And so, kind of want to hit this and just see, read a little bit of what Danny Hillman has said here. The unjust retraction of the groundbreaking research, a call for academic integrity, is the title of this Facebook post. We, the authors, express profound disappointment at the unwarranted retraction of our paper titled Geoarchaeological Prospecting of Gudang Padang, Buried Prehistoric Pyramid in the West, published by the Archaeological Prospection by Wiley on October 20th, 2023. The retraction is solely based on unfounded claims raised by third parties who hold differing opinions and disbelieve in the evidence, analysis, and conclusion. Despite our diligent efforts to address and refute the unfounded claims, which with robust scientific data, the Wiley team chose to align with the assertions of anonymous individuals. To our knowledge, neither the anonymous third parties nor the Wiley team has provided conclusive evidence or offered sufficient scientific rationale to substantiate their decisions to retract our paper based on an alleged major error. So the decision to retract our paper for a severe form of censorship, blatantly disregarding the fundamental principles of scientific inquiry. And that's the thing. You get it retracted. You go through all this work to get these guys' work and you pound away at Wiley's, the group that posted this basically the academic paper. And where is the discourse? Where is the debate? Back and forth. Is there some paper that maybe they could write to disprove this? Instead of getting it retracted and pulled down, what kind of a quasi-scientific universe are we living in right now? I don't get it. How about writing a paper and publishing that of all your ideas going back and forth? So, I mean, this guy's saying that they haven't given any evidence or given any data to rebuttal any of these theories or proposals within their paper. And it's just to me, it's unbelievable. I was talking to Jeffrey Wilson, I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago, his new book, Ancient Monuments of the Mississippi Valley, expanded edition,
right,
which is for sale. Graham Hancock shouted Jeffrey out on grahamhancock.com.
Okay.
And posted on, didn't even mention Jeffrey by name, but just said this is a really useful book for anybody researching mountains in Ohio, blah, blah, blah. And so that went nuts in this Facebook group called Disproving Archaeology. And this group has thousands and thousands of people, but they basically posted this link to what Graham Hancock wrote and then started bringing in all these people that are just bashing Jeffrey's book that know nothing about it. And so one of the rebuttals of these posts was our video about Jeffrey talking about giant skeletons being found at Serpent Mound to somehow make Jeffrey look like a kook, but never referencing the video that we actually did with Jeffrey that was two parts that explains what his book was about. His book doesn't say anything outrageous. It's just that Graham Hancock talked about it. So it blew up into this huge thing. And Jeffrey gets in there and starts talking science and starts hitting back with, you know, and kind of letting him know, like, this is completely unwarranted. You're not even referencing my work. Have you read the book?
Yeah.
This is the actual episode with The Strange Road where I break down, you know, the overarching parts. So it's like you have these groups that just hit back so hard to try to, if you're, you know, calling him, he's not an archaeologist, he's not this, but then they don't realize that Jeffrey's basically was a physics professor, worked for NASA, was, you know, he's got a scientific background.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shame, but this is kind of another example of these groups that get together to just knock out any debate or conversation. But Jeffrey's Facebook group, Friends of Serpent Mound, if you guys aren't a part of that, absolutely blew up through this whole thing that happened.
Yeah, all they're going to do is drag people to the actual truth.
Yeah.
So,
and so then you fine. Had a bunch of
It's the comments. Streisand effect.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So don't look over here. It's the wizard behind the curtain.
Was so good for them.
Well, it's, the more you don't want somebody to look at it, the more they're going to look at it.
Yeah.
Would you just look at it?
Yeah.
Just look take at a look it. At it.
Just look at it.
Just look at that.
Here we go, Bob. This is right up your alley. I think you should take this next one.
I think I found this one.
Yeah,
this is because it, you know, I've got that Michael Cremo filter.
Exactly.
When I see anything that falls into that category, I'm like, what is this? So anytime I see really old and it shouldn't be there, such as researchers unearth a 3 million year old tool, I get interested. So yeah. It comes from Discover magazine. The discoveries push back the date of one of humans' earliest technological advances. Ancient tools buried for millions of years in Kenya may be the oldest example yet of our ancestors' technological prowess. The tools recently discovered on the Hama Peninsula in Lake Victoria are now the earliest known examples of Oldowan technology, stretching its known start date back by as many as 400,000 years. Just a little, you know, because, you know, we're living to 70, 80 years, right? It's 400,000 years. That's just a little bit. It's not much. Inconceivable.
Yeah.
So just to get on my soapbox on and off there, the Oldowan toolkit is a term anthropologists use to describe the distinct technology that lasted for millions of years before Homo sapiens ever walked the earth. These tools usually involved very controlled rock flaking or like napping or, you know, rock napping. Like people still do it. Hit one stone against another stone. Ancient hominins chipped off sharp, thin slivers, leaving a sharp edge stone behind that would have been good for chopping or scraping. These slivers could also have been used as sewing materials and other things. The Nyayanga excavation site where the stone tools were found is a lush tropical place with deep gullies. As these gullies erode, extremely old layers of dirt and sediment and sometimes ancient fossils and tools are exposed. Rick Potts, the director of the Human Origins Program at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C.
Your boy. Your boys.
Best institute ever. And his study co-authors found that the 330 stone tools they unearthed at Nyayanga date between 2.58 million and 3 million years ago. That's hundreds of thousands of years older than the previously oldest known set of Oldowan tools, which were found in Ethiopia. 2.5 to 3 million years ago. Let me pause. Smithsonian there at the end. You know how weird this is going to sound, because this is what people always say about Michael Cremo stuff when he's like, hey, we found a hammer and somebody's ago, but somebody put it there. I could see the Smithsonian actually doing that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go out here. Let's plant some stuff and find this. Like, we got to advance it. You know, things are moving.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying I could see that being, because I think they have even more wild stuff at the Smithsonian than 3 million year old tools, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is like, you know, not even in the vault. I think this is just laying around there, like, grab that off the coffee table. The good stuff's still in the vault.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting. Time keeps on slipping. It gets older and older. It just keeps getting older and older. It never stops. How does it never stop? How?
Because we're technology is accelerating what we can find with all the tools that we have at our disposal now.
Right.
You know, in these tools, like there's, you know, gamma cams now, which you can see gamma rays.
That's interesting.
You can actually film gamma rays and radiation, whether it's coming from the ground or, you know, it's in the atmosphere. You're going to be able to, like we talked about, you can photograph auras now. You can,
right.
You know, gamma cams where you could detect with a Geiger counter. But to be able to photograph and actually have a video of where radiation is seems kind of wild.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
But imagine that tool 5 years from now with AI integrated into it. And what kind of censoring technologies that DARPA's already been developing for 20 years that we are not going to know about for another 20 years. So it's going to accelerate everything that we know. And you're not going to be able to hold the wall back.
Yeah. No, it's coming.
Yeah, it's going to just break through. It's going to be a flood of finally admitting.
I think it's all happening.
We don't know everything. There's no set determined timeline. It's we got to find the data as it comes out. And
fair,
you know, not restricting. And for the, what do you see in that comment?
Burton said he was radioactive for 48 hours.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'll bet you were, Burton. You should have brought a Geiger counter with you. Did they come up and wand you? They probably did. They probably did to check him. That carries with it a whole set of protocols of even going to the bathroom then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
Same with like getting, you know, chemotherapy and stuff.
Well, our last topic for tonight, guys, and we saved maybe the strangest for last, but unless you've been living under a rock.
What was that?
My little thing fell over. I got a little excited. You know, Monday, we're hanging out at the end of the day, and Bub gives me a link that's talking about Diddy's house getting raided. And
this was just a few days ago.
It was Monday. Yeah, and I'm whatever. Like, this isn't real. This is some
Nobody
kind of...
Nobody believe me.
This can't be Diddy's house. This can't be actually happening.
Houses.
And the whole thing was unfolding live on X. And then I go on YouTube and there's the Fox 11 LA. The choppers were already there. Kim Kardashian, apparently a bunch of people unfollowed Diddy before the raid, the day before the raids. And so
Ridley Scott couldn't get to his house.
He was one of Diddy's neighbors.
Because of what was going on. Ridley Scott, the director, producer, you know, Aliens.
Scott Fear Productions.
He's the man. Stuck in the street waiting to get home.
Yeah.
They brought in some heavy machinery to carry out and
Homeland Security. So some of you might not know, but Homeland Security has an investigation unit. And part of that different units has been... International sex trafficking has been a big focus of Homeland Security for a long time. But you've never seen Homeland Security geared up with Bearcats.
It was wild.
40 people on the ground from just their unit plus local police in Miami and in LA.
It wasn't just your average, hey, we want to take a look around.
No.
Like they raided, but even before we get into this, I'll say some of the controversial stuff surrounding it that I've been listening to
for a while. Like going back to even before Christmas, I remember you sharing all these things on Twitter about Diddy and some of these lawsuits that we're going to talk about. And they go back to November, and then December there were two, and then in January of 2024 there was a third Jane Doe, but fourth person that came out. And then not too long ago, in I think February, is when Little Rod, correct?
Yeah.
Came out with his lawsuit.
That's
which is
the one
aware
that I'm aware of.
That's the one you were aware of, but I don't.
There's other ones.
There's a lot.
Multiple.
There's a lot multiple, here.
But
and
his plane flew down to somewhere in the Caribbean, I believe. His jet.
Yeah. With him not on it.
With him not on it. Yeah. But if people were jumping off of his IG and Twitter and this and that and all the socials the day before this or that, so they kind of knew. There was a video that I saw of him at a party a day or two before this happened, so over the weekend possibly, where people weren't interacting with him.
Right?
It was weird.
Yeah,
people knew. He was like the sad kid at the party where like nobody would talk to him.
And in January, Cat Williams warned everybody.
Oh, well, like Necro said, Cat Williams tried to warn him. I want to know what was on his jet that went to the Caribbean. Exactly.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Did he loaded his plane up with shit?
Well, they had
sent it off.
TMZ, or his neighbors rather, were taking photos or had noticed. TMZ got an interview with his neighbor and said that.
That might be not real.
A couple nights before. Okay. Fair
enough.
Those
people might have been talking smack from what I heard today. So I won't use that as a solid source.
Let's skip over that. But
there have been enough people over the years.
They were moving. Somebody was moving.
Well, yeah. No, that's
a bunch of things. That's what I was saying.
That's real.
The neighbors saw, or someone saw them moving massive. They thought he was moving.
Yeah,
there was so much stuff coming out of the house. And so if they, in the middle of the night, moved all this stuff, loaded it up on the Love private plane, and flew to a non-extradition
country.
What is it? Antigua.
Yeah,
the island of
like
Antigua, and they flew all that in for, because, guys, this is an Epstein situation from what it appears. He was filming things. He had
There were cameras in every room.
All the time. Yes. Honey traps. It's a honey trap.
Drugs everywhere.
Underage
people
kids.
With fanny packs on, plastered with different drugs of every kind that you want.
Yeah.
Spiking the drinks.
Yeah.
Making people sign NDAs.
And that's coming out in little
making
rods.
People sign NDAs.
Yeah.
So even if you go there, get roofied and this and that, he might have had people so scared that if you ever say anything, I'd be under an NDA.
Dude, Mike Tyson wouldn't talk about Diddy. Tyson was...
People, no. I don't mean that way. You could talk about him. I'm saying he would invite you to
you
a party.
They were afraid.
Stop. He would invite you to a party, roofie the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Have you under an NDA.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Especially if you're some girl.
No,
you're some dude,
nothing.
Whoever.
You're not going to do anything.
You're some unimportant person. This person here has lots of money, lots of connections, lots
Until
of powerful friends.
It happens. Now you have this flood of all this information, all these accounts.
But here's the
all
thing,
these
man.
Weird videos of him as the Joker on the street and Halloween.
Like I said earlier.
It just seems
like
so
I said
bizarre.
Earlier, it was all fine when it was Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
But even now we've realized that Hugh Hefner probably wasn't a good dude in a lot of ways. I'm not trying to like really get that far off track here, but what I'm saying is this is not new.
No.
Epstein wasn't new. Hefner wasn't new. Diddy's not new. None of these guys and gals out there are new. This is a real game that's always out there. But if we can keep kind of pulling on these weeds, let's keep weeding this garden, we'll get them.
Yeah.
If you keep an eye on things like this, if you actually stay vigilant and you go, hey, that's weird that Puff Daddy is like adopting different artists and kids and making people stay at his house and
Bieber
sleep overnight and get into weird compromising Usher. Situations like Lil Rod, the guy that brought up the suit. You were talking about Cuba Gooding Jr., that stuff in there. Like there's all kinds of weird stuff.
I can't even get into
Prince
that.
Harry's named in one of these lawsuits. Like, dude.
This is on par with being not on par, but it's Uncle
equally
Andrew.
As weird as being Epstein-esque.
There's so many. The fact that there's another younger royal family member involved, Prince Andrew and then Harry. And who knows? I mean, the only thing in that lawsuit that mentions Harry is just these blowout parties. These super secret parties, invite only, where they listed political people, Hollywood people, musicians, and the last line was British royalty like Prince Harry. So they didn't mention anybody's name within that, people from Hollywood politics, but Harry was mentioned at the very end. And that is what blew up today because you have all the British press is going off like the
about this.
About
I didn't know that.
Well, they're ruthless. The paparazzi. That's a British term. Like we had press, they've been crazy with paparazzi way before we had
Kardashians
and Britney Spears.
Yes. I'll tell you what, if we had a royal family, I'd be so sick right now. If I had to see the same family Prince for that Diana many years, unless they were cool.
She crashed because the paparazzi was chasing her.
Diana was cool.
Yeah. And they
badgered. Let's not go down that road. Let's stay here. Okay. Get off.
We're getting off way of the royals off. Now.
Let's recap Diddy's resume of allegations and controversies.
Rolling Stone listed this yesterday. Yeah.
So in 1991, he had a basketball game, celebrity basketball game, where somehow there was a stampede and as many as 29 people were injured. 9 people died. It's kind of a weird one. 95, Jake Roble shooting. I don't even want to read all these, but there was a shooting. Robles died weeks later at an Atlanta hospital. Combs denied involvement in the shooting, which Knight reportedly held him responsible for, Suge Knight. In 98, he's attacking Steve Stout, who is the Nas man. He was the manager of Nas, for sending an erroneous copy of a version of Hate Me Now, a music video, which had scenes in it that Puffy wasn't happy with. So he attacked him. New York club shooting in 99, scuffle with J. Cole in 2013, punches Drake in 2014. Who punches Drake? This one I actually remember. Fights UCLA coach in 2015.
Yeah.
This one I remember hearing about, because back then, I'll be honest, like in that time and era in 2014 and stuff, I actually didn't use X or Twitter or Instagram, or I had Facebook, but I didn't really use it that much. I used it for the band I was in and stuff. So I was actually super, super, super late to social media in a lot of ways, which is fine because I'm a fast learner and I catch up, but it's also because it's problematic. But that was the first one I really remember hearing about, was like, I think it was because it was on like TV or
There's been stories and rumors.
UCLA football coach over his son or this, that, or whatever.
Not even just rumors. There's been incidents throughout all from the beginning.
We're still going. Gina Hughes or Gina Quinn. I don't know how to say her name. Alleges abuse in 2019. Cassie, ex girlfriend of Combs, alleges issues and files a civil suit against him in 2023. Jane Doe sues for 1991 rape and revenge porn. Third Jane Doe files a lawsuit on December 6th.
Yeah, right before the deadlines, too.
Tiffany Redd writes an open letter corroborating Cassie's allegations. Hulu scraps family reality show. Yep. Combs settles with Diego.
That was supposed to take over the Kardashians.
Which is all about a business enterprise with Ciroc and DeLeon. Liquor agents. So the settlement with Diego, and then Sean Combs sued for sexual assault by Love album producer. This is the Little Rod one that I'm talking about, the $30 million sexual assault. Yeah. That one, if you read that court case, is wild.
Well, that's
the last thing that dropped.
That's all the sex trafficking stuff and
gun trafficking. Everything. It's drugs, sex trafficking, guns,
honeypots,
rape, abuse, pedophilia.
Yeah.
Minors.
Yeah.
I think there's minors in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of weird shit.
I think but who knows? Were they building this case for a long time? And Little Rod was that court cases was like the last thing that they needed to really, because think about it. That case was in a Supreme Court. So that was a federal case, I believe. So which is why I think Homeland Security was involved, because if Homeland Security is involved, that means that there's stuff happening across country lines that is going international. Homeland Security doesn't involve themselves if it's something that's, you know, state to state. That's more of an FBI situation. So I found it really interesting of what you've never seen a raid by Homeland Security. Even Epstein didn't get raided by Homeland Security. That's what really blew my mind. But you also have to realize it's the federal government.
Right.
And you got to kind of look at it. Why are they doing this all of a sudden?
A little bit sideways.
Yeah, you can't really trust anything they do. If it's some kind of local, you know, Miami PD, I think it's a little bit more credible in terms of, I don't know, it just seems weird that full force of the federal government would go that hard.
Here's the other thing. Where is the diddler?
Where...
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Here's the other How sad did he part. Not, you know,
he was at the airport
you know
yesterday,
my car's
walking
name?
Around.
I call my car Puff the Magic Wagon. And for short, I called it P. Diddy. Not joking. Not joking. That is what I always call my car is Puffy. Or the Diddler. Diddler. It's so bad, isn't it?
Oh, man. That was trending on Twitter on X yesterday. Just hashtag the Diddler.
That's where I kind of like laugh about it. And I say, I don't know if this is the best time to be alive or the worst time to be alive because, you know.
But when you were talking to me about all this stuff, I don't know, since January and February, and I was just like, yeah, all this, these court cases are interesting. Like, this is real for sure. But no one saw this coming. It's one of those things where it's like, it's going to be settled in a civil suit. He'll pay him off. He'll write a check, which he did to Cassie. That was like $30 million.
Right. But stop.
But it just didn't seem like anything would come out of it.
Stop. I don't know from this case to the other cases whether or not there's actual, like, okay, in the case with, let me go back here. I want to find the Cassie case.
Did he do it or did he not?
She filed a federal lawsuit against Combs in New York alleging years of assault. Her lawsuit contains graphic allegations, of rape, physical abuse, and
trafficking.
Just came out in 2023.
Yeah, no, November. That's the first one. And then after that was three Jane Does.
So she
and then
came
Little
out,
Rock.
I didn't know all these. Five I cases get it, total. But I'm just now piecing the timeline together. This is wild. So
yeah, the thing that you just read.
Well, I get it, but I'm saying I didn't read all the dates and times like November 16th, November 23rd.
Yeah, it's all within the last 4 months, basically. This is all
so those.
Happened.
I wonder if those girls coming out and then Lil Rod, came out, or if all that was all kind of like working in concert already.
Yeah,
but like this dropping. But I guess.
Well, Diddy came out every time a new lawsuit came out here in the last few months. He came out and his PR team made statements until the fourth Jane Doe came out. Then he actually publicly something that he wrote on Instagram, which was just, this is another case of people trying to get money. None of this is true, you know, but he's been very quiet.
Nobody knows where Diddy is, though.
He was at the airport yesterday. TMZ was filming him walking around.
I get that.
Pacing with sweatpants on.
I feel like the last thing I saw or read was that he had gotten on a jet and his jet disappeared from radar.
Well, who was the guy that said he wouldn't be surprised, like
if he killed himself?
A year ago? Yeah, if he Epsteined himself or.
I mean, I'm just saying. Let me see if I can find that one. Here's another one if you want a really strange one. This is just a wild headline. Slowly at CERN in Geneva, the Large Hadron Collider Particle Accelerator is coming out of its regular hibernation once again. The first collision of proton beams are expected on April 8th. So they're firing up CERN on what day?
The eclipse.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what else has been coming out that is anybody else in the chat or anybody else listening, if you can corroborate this as well. Have you seen these articles or posts coming out about saying about like this syndrome where people have where they're like, they see people's faces
like
over embellished like a goblin?
Like the smiley faced man, right?
You remember the Soundgarden video Black Hole Sun?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's face is like distorting and getting weird?
Yeah. And that's that story that Weird Willis talked to us about that got the smiley face man and Woodrow Derenberger.
Yeah.
Indrid Cold. Gets mixed up and kind of tied into each other. But that was a totally separate incident, was the smiling man that was walking up and communicating with him. That's a left turn there, bub. We went from Diddy to the Large Hadron Collider.
I had that saved in my, I had it saved in my notes. I had to talk about it. That's all I got.
Yeah. The Diddy thing was Oh my God.
Did it about break you?
I just did not think that this was happening.
How about the bridge that went down? We didn't even talk about the bridge that went down.
The bridge is strange.
We should mention that.
What
it could be just bad driving. It could be.
There was a general on the Alex Jones show talking about how he called it like a Black Angel event.
Black Swan.
Black Swan event, which I don't know what that means.
I've been hearing it a lot. Applied to the market, applied to, it's not a good thing.
Is it some kind of like black flag?
It's like a foreboding, like it's like foreshadowing in a story.
But if you look at that ship, it goes like this. It comes around and it just turns and drills that center giant beam in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing just collapses around it. And that barge is still there. I mean, it looks like an intentional smash.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's very, very bizarre.
It doesn't seem good. There's a bridge in Rome that burnt yesterday, too.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know, man. I think
it's. You think the Mothman's going to start appearing? All these bridges?
No. God, I hope not.
Oh, boy.
I mean, yeah, it's just things are getting stranger and stranger and stranger. And this might even go back to my theory that I had the one time where, like, I'm a very dualistic yin and yang type person. So what that means is as incredibly good as things get, they're also going to get incredibly bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The light and the dark is existing together.
Right.
All at the same time.
Right. It's like, oh, if I have a dollar and I lose a penny, that's not so bad. If I have a dollar and I lose 50 cents, it's terrible. And then as you swing that harder, like, oh, I have $1,000 and if I lose $10, it's not that bad. You know, things get more and more wild, though, as we get bigger and bolder.
But light always overcomes the darkness. A pinprick of light can light up an entire dark cave.
It's true. It's true.
So
we'll see what happens with it all.
Shining light on the ditties of the world, and we're going to be all right.
Bro. Bro. Burton said Mothman was driving the boat. Dude hates bridges. Jeez.
Amazing, Burton. Oh, man.
I hate to say it, but things are just, they're not slowing down in the world of strange. Things are getting stranger. It just, I didn't think we'd get to this point. I didn't. Did you?
I did think, I mean, going back to what Cat Williams said was all you deviants out there, matter in 2024, everything's going to come out. Don't matter if you're Diddy, don't matter if you're whoever it is. And he mentions Diddy by name, and I just remember. And Shannon Sharp just bent. He didn't know what to say.
Shannon just was froze.
Shannon grabbed his whiskey drink.
He's like, I'll take another drink.
All right, we'll take another. And then he puts it down and grabs another glass.
Pours another drink.
Pours another drink and then takes another drink.
Yeah,
he didn't know what to say, dude.
But
if you guys listen to the Rogan episode with Cat Williams, that was fascinating because they didn't get into any of the Illuminati a little bit, but they more got into ancient civilizations and extraterrestrial life and a lot of like really out there. And Cat knew a lot, man. He was super knowledgeable on a lot of weird, he was talking about the Emerald Tablets of Thoth on that episode. Look,
a lot of people had to be aware of this for a long time again. And like, I've started like just, I don't listen to 50 Cent. I like him. I'm just not like I listen to a lot of rap and 50 Cent. But am I following him now? Yeah. So I just want to hear what they're saying. Yeah. I need to catch all this in real time about what's going on.
10 years.
I know that now. That's I didn't crazy. Know that back then. But he would have interviews where he would say wild Breakfast shit. Club. Talking about Diddy spiking drinks and this and that. And people in the crowd are like.
Yeah.
Because he's saying it to a bunch of people that just have no awareness or context. It's just like you could say it to a pen full of goats and they'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
They don't know what you're talking about. Some of that stuff. And that's where it's like. If you're somebody that knows about it on any level, whether it's this, whether it's UFOs or Sasquatch or ancient technology or whatever, how do you even sometimes get that ball rolling?
Mm-hmm.
How do you even go about that?
Right.
How do you get disclosure for certain things? And the only person I can think of that's done a really good job of trying that, especially in ufology, was Greer, writing the disclosure book, like, getting all the stories, the getting all those people on paper to sign, you know, yep, I want, you know, I'll put my name on it and this and that. The
Associated Press briefing in 2001.
Yep. Well, hey, let's not beat this horse too much. I'm sure that
there's more stuff.
I'm sure Diddy's got a lot of Diddy to do yet.
If they get a hold of all these recordings and Lil Rob,
we don't want to talk about the recordings.
Hours of recordings, just him. But I'm talking about the stuff that was in the house that disappeared. If any of that, it's like, well, Epstein had tons of DVDs and recordings, and where's that data? The New York Police Department has that somewhere.
Yeah. Do you know what I would say? The first thing that I was thinking of that made me think about all this was this makes me go all the way back to the fucking Sandusky case.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It makes me think all the way back to that.
Yeah. Everybody knew.
Open secret.
Everybody knew.
It reminds me of how Stephen King books, like
the thing that never,
nobody does anything to prevent it. Like that was the scariest thing about the book. It was all the adults and nobody did anything to help these kids.
Well, and it went, nobody ever talked about the Second Mile Foundation and his 501c, his nonprofit that he was running, and the weird stuff connected with a cover for some kind of trafficking network. And there's that journalist that was covering this, and all of a sudden his car crashes and his laptop ends up in the bottom of a lake, and nothing further came out. He had been tracking.
Let me ask you this then. What does that tell you? What does it tell you?
It tells me that there were people on a massive scale that wasn't just Penn State.
Not just that, but people that are supposed to be in powerful positions to do good are doing bad.
Yeah, in my opinion. I think if you seek power and that's your objective.
Because if you were against innately, that, if you knew anything about it, if you had heard that guy's story, if you heard the journalist, if you were a cop locally that knew about that.
Yeah, the coach. He knew and he tried to come out and he told all the right authorities. Mike McCleary.
We'll see how far he actually, I don't know. I didn't read into all that, how far he actually went with it and how much is.
He went to the chancellor or the president, whoever is the top at the university. First, he went to Joe Paterno.
He went to Paterno and then Paterno, he went to like the president and then he went to like this. I know that they went high up.
And they all had meetings about this with him, had separate meetings, and it was logged somewhere and where they had found that, yes, it was talked about. And they decided to handle it all internally. It never did anything. That was in 2008 when Mike McQuarrie came out.
He's trying to win another.
And what was that, 2011 or 2012?
Let's not rock the boat here too much. We're talking about an institution of football.
They ended up firing him from being a part of the coaching squad, the team. Officially, he was gone from the university.
Yeah.
But he still had access to all the facilities. He never really went away. He didn't technically work for them.
They just didn't have him front-facing.
Mike McQuarrie.
They didn't have him front-facing.
That locker room situation, he was already fired from his job as a football coach at that point. But why is he still there?
I don't know why there wasn't a homicide that day if you're Mike McQuarrie.
Right. But it's a person of power. What do you do? Well, if you're Mike, you know,
I'm going to lose my job if I'm Mike McQuarrie. Yeah, faster than he lost his job.
No doubt. I'm with you.
Sorry, Jerry. You won't be using the facilities here ever again. Or anywhere again. There would be no amount of getting myself zen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I can't even fathom it. And that case was the first instance to me, not that there haven't been other cases, because again, there have been more, but that to me was my first recognition moment. And again, if you didn't pay attention to it, you didn't know it. If you don't like football, you didn't know it. If it didn't matter to you, you didn't see it. Like, it's real easy to not pay attention to some of the stuff if it's not what rocks your boat. Guess what? It's not really what I want to know about, but I want to know about if it's happening because I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
So sometimes I got to stick my ear and listen to garbage that I don't want to listen to.
Yeah.
But it always makes me think of Bowser and how that's what his kind of ethos of, you know, doing things where he's like, you know, listening to just
Yeah.
Vitriol from people where he's like, I don't agree with you, but I need to hear what you're saying because I need to know the other side of this coin. So
it's
one of those. So again, soapbox, I'm off it.
Well, we're going to end this on a positive note. Guys, we had an amazing episode recording the other night with B. Mills. She started the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival and Conference. She's been researching. She was Bigfooter of the Year in 2019. So that episode is going to be coming out not this Monday, but next Monday. We are dialing things back a little bit. We got some things going on the personal level. We have some things that are cooking for gigs and different things. So we have we're going to keep Strange Happenings moving forward. But you know, just so you know that there's some stuff happening behind the scenes here that we're trying to get our thumb on the pulse right now. We're in conversations and trying to do some big things right now. We just need some time to kind of reorganize the collective effort and everything that's happening down here. And we appreciate your guys' support so very much. And you know, don't forget about the Strange Road merch portal. Go get your t-shirts, hoodies. We've got the t-shirts here. If you guys want one of these t-shirts, just hit me up. We'll figure out something.
They're very cool.
We have purple, we have teal, we have gray, black, we have the hoodies. We've got some of these hats left, guys. But hit us up. We'll make it happen. I'll ship it out for you and send you a link, whatever we need to do. But make sure you guys, if you're here on YouTube, hit that like button again. Subscribe. Got to have that notification bell. Everybody that's listening on Apple, Spotify, we appreciate all you guys. And, you know, we've been rocking and rolling with the YouTube shorts and trying to grow the channel and all kinds of different ways right now. Little Comb, my nephew's been killing it and helping us out, and Stoner's been feeding him all kinds of great stuff to, you know, keep things moving forward. And hope you guys are enjoying it. Let us know what you think. Hit us up. Let's connect. And like I said, we have some big stuff coming down the pipe. So stay tuned with all the social media stuff at The Strange Road. You guys know where to find us. And we're going to sign out. Much love to you all. Take care. We're out.
Later, y'all.
Peace.